The following audio is used by permission from the University of Steubenville. For more, visit bookstore.franciscan.edu or call 1-888-333-0481.
Vatican I released two dogmatic canons on miracles. I'm going to read you one of them on the supernatural. This is number 4. Often, you know, we're so Vatican II, we forget that there was a Vatican I. You know, great things in Vatican I. Especially, read the chapter on faith, it's fantastic. If anyone shall say that miracles are impossible, and that therefore the accounts regarding them, even those contained in Holy Scripture, are to be dismissed as fabulous or mythical, or that miracles can never be known with certainty, and that divine origin of Christianity is not rightly proved by them, let him be anathema. Well, listen, I have to tell you then, most of the theologians who taught me theology were outside the communion of the Catholic Church. You cannot be a Catholic and not believe that the miracles in here really were miracles. That's just not on. You're out of the club. Listen to this. I find this even more striking. Listen to the reasoning in this. This is from Vatican I, the chapter on faith. In order that the obedience of our faith might be in harmony with reason. In order that the obedience of our faith might be in harmony with reason, God willed that to the interior help of the Holy Spirit, there should also be joined exterior proofs of his revelation, divine facts, and especially miracles and prophecies, which as they manifestly display the omnipotence and infinite knowledge of God, are most certain proofs of his divine revelation, adapted to the intelligence of man. The very thing that the world wants to say is unreasonable about the charismatic renewal is the supernatural element, is the very thing that the church says God has given into the life of the church to appeal to our reason. It is unreasonable not to believe in the supernatural in the church. Anti-intellectual. To not believe in the supernatural in the life of the church. Now, you're not going to have to say that to any of the theologians here, but you just might need to point that out to some of them if you're doing theology somewhere else. Why on earth you do it somewhere else where you could do it, I don't know, but there we are. If I could have done my theology here, oh, Jesus. Every single lecture, I was arguing with the lecturers. It was exhausting. But you know, it formed me an argument. You know, I'm pretty good at that now. Okay, so it's these things are given to appeal to our reason. Do you know, and we think that we're more reasonable in the West. When you go to Africa and you perform a miracle, they understand that is entirely reasonable. If you don't believe in God in Africa, you're a moron. I mean, what planet were you born on if you don't believe in God? Whereas here it's getting more and more the other way around. If you do believe in God, you're a bit, you know, questionable up here, especially in England. Do you know in England, 93% of the population of England never, ever, ever go into a church, not even at Christmas. 93%. So what we say in England is, the other 7%, God's going for quality, not quantity. Listen, we're missionaries in England. There's only 7% of us. That's all the Christians put together. 7% of us. When we get it up to 10, we can turn the whole thing around. John the 23rd gave a prayer to the whole church at the time of the council. You'll know this prayer, lots of you. Lots of you have prayed this prayer. Many of you have prayed this prayer every day, probably for years. And part of the prayer was this: Lord, renew your wonders in this our day as by a new Pentecost. Renew your what?
Wonders.
Wonders. This is the vision of a pope. He got the whole church to pray for that. This is, by God's mercy, meant to be an era of wonders. Just let your faith come up about that. An era of wonders. I cannot, no one will convince me that John the 23rd got that revelation was out of the flesh or from the devil, and that the Lord allowed him to get the whole church worldwide to pray that prayer if it wasn't the will of God. It's the will of God. He's setting the bar high, but the Lord has given us his spirit. We can easily ascend to those levels. Wonders should be normal in the Catholic Church. People in the street, they ought to think, Catholic wonders. It ought to be normal. Catholic wonders. Now, we're throwing a few other things off at the moment, okay? God has to kind of fill in the valleys and pull down the mountains, but in time, it's going to be like that. That's how they used to think in the early centuries of the church. Read Irenaeus, you know, when he's defining a difference between the Gnostics and the real Christians. The Gnostics were the ones who couldn't do miracles. That's slightly challenging, actually, isn't it? Raising the dead happened often among the brethren, he said. And that we can cast out the demons and heal the sick who nobody else can heal or deliver. Isn't that how it should be? We don't want to be the last port of call. We want to be the first port of call. God is going to bring that day. We're going to see it. Second Vatican Council. The Lord distributes special graces, charisms, among the faithful of every rank. Put up your hand if you're included in every rank. That's quite a lot of you, actually. One or two people didn't put their hands up. I don't know what that means, but... Every rank. By these gifts, charisms, he makes them fit and ready to undertake the various tasks and offices for the renewal and the building up of the church, as it is written. And he takes this text, the Council Fathers take this text from 1 Corinthians 12:7, which is the list of the spiritual gifts that we're talking about this weekend. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone for profit. And it goes on, this is Lumen Gentium, goes on, whether these charisms be very remarkable or simple and widely diffused, they are to be received with thanksgiving and consolation. They are to be received with thanksgiving and consolation. You know your parish priests, you know, when they lie down on their beds at night and they think of the charismatics, they ought to be consoled. You know, thank you, Jesus, for the charismatics. You know, we should be a comfort and a consolation because we have been comforted and consoled. I don't know why you were laughing at that. In a document on lay people, paragraph 3, it says, from the reception of these charisms, even the most ordinary ones, in other words, from the reception of these charisms, especially the more extraordinary ones, and even the most ordinary ones, there arises for each of the faithful the right and the duty of exercising them where? In the church and in the world. In the world also. Now, that's not without reference to the pastors, of course. But we have a right and a duty. What is a right? What is a right? I have permission to drive in America. Okay? I have permission to drive in America. I have a right to do that. Okay? I have a right. It's permission. What's a duty? It's an obligation. Now, I have a duty to feed my children. I don't just say to myself, it's been a while since I fed my kids. Darling, should we feed them next Wednesday? You know, it's not a hobby. It's not like, you know, going to your origami club or your knitting circle or your whatever. It's not a hobby, but we've related to these gifts like that. I do these on Tuesday night at the prayer meeting. This is like a hobby. And your friend, you go off and do spiritual gifts in your little club, and they go off and they do pottery in their little club. This is not a hobby. This is part of the whole mission of the Christian. If you're feeling threatened by that, good. You know, this is time to stand up. Throw off the fear of man and start to fear the Lord. Pope Paul VI, we cannot but desire that these gifts come, and may God grant it here and there. No. On Tuesday night in Steubenville in the chapel. No. May God grant it with abundance. With abundance. Besides grace, let God's church be able to obtain and possess the charisms. God grant that the Lord will still increase this reign of charisms to make the church odd, strange, and peculiar. No, listen, to make the church fruitful, beautiful, marvelous, and capable of inspiring respect. What an interesting phrase. He saw at that time after the council that the church was not being respected in the world, and often not by the members either. And these charisms were going to increase the respect with which the church was held in the world. And that they would even obtain the attention and amazement of the profane world. Do you need that in America?
Yes.
From our little island over there, we reckon you do. We need it more, but you do need it. Guys, you really need it. Bring it on. Amen. Bring it on. I want to tell you a little story. It's a true story. Some of our lay catechists in our parish took a group off for confirmation preparation. And while they were away, they prayed for them to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, just in case their experience with the bishop wasn't mind-blowing. Now, I have got total faith in what God does in the sacraments, absolute faith. But sometimes the tangible nature of it can be slightly... They come away, the kids, and they say, and? They don't understand the profound nature of what's happened, even though they felt nothing. Okay, so they pray with them for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. When they get back, they have a follow-up meeting with the parents. And the parents are asking questions of the team. And one of the dads stood up and he said, excuse me, I have a question. My son told me that while he was away with you, you and the team prayed over him for the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and you prayed in tongues. And the organizer said, yes, that's correct. And he said, well, how long's that been going on in the Catholic Church? And my friend said, well, since Pentecost. And the dad said, sincerely, was that Pentecost last year or the year before? Now, that's a true story. How did that situation arise? There's 120 million Catholic charismatics, and that man in that parish with a charismatic parish priest didn't know these things were going on. Brothers and sisters, you know, we've got to proclaim and share what we have seen and heard. If you don't share it, let me tell you, it'll die or it'll deform. You share it or it'll die or it'll deform. John Paul II. Hooray! John Paul II prayed over me. I did. Yeah, I had a supernatural thing where the Lord said, go here, go there, and the Lord got me in, and he prayed over me. That's why my hair fell out in the front. It's kind of out of deference, you know. So if you want to come and touch later, you know, you're very... John Paul II, what a prophet. I want to cry out, be open and docile to the gifts of the Spirit. Accept with gratitude and obedience the charisms that the Spirit never ceases to bestow. Wow. And Pope Benedict XVI has sought to promote, he said, a culture of Pentecost throughout the church. This is a good time for us in the church. The popes have been the champion of the movements of renewal in the history of the church, and they've really been our champion. They really have. We thank God for that. You know, when you are exercising these charismatic gifts that we're going to talk about this weekend, you are being intensely Catholic. Intensely Catholic. This is not something you've got to apologize for. The popes are begging us. We've been called a chance for the church by Pope Paul VI. But a chance can be missed. A chance can be missed. How much does it matter for us to be who we've been called to be? When are we going to give up the fear of man and start letting compassion drive us that we might become all that God wants us to be for the sake of the people he loves? Now, the gifts, the spiritual gifts, are, this is not exactly the way to say it theologically, but the aspects, as it were, of the personality of the Holy Spirit, part of his makeup. Now, where's Bob? Is he around? Have we got a musician here? Yeah, okay. Someone who plays the guitar. Yeah, okay. Okay, can you stand up? Look at that. What a great t-shirt. Pick Jesus. Great. Okay, what's your name?
Angie.
Angie. Okay, Angie. Angie, I just want you to go outside that door, please. Okay, could you do that? Now, don't go too far. I did this once and someone went to the bathroom. Just the other side of that door. That's great. Just the other side of the door where we can see you. Okay. That's it? Great. Turn this way. Now, I want you to imagine that this room is your heart. Okay? And Angie, you're the Holy Spirit. Okay. And we say to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come into my heart. Can't look at that. Real enthusiastic Holy Spirit. Great. Great. Do you want to touch my head? You see, I'm a second-class relic. I am. Okay, would you like, just turn around. Be the Holy Spirit for us. Right, now, when Angie came through that door, did she leave her ability to play the guitar outside of it?
No.
Did she leave any of her gifts on the other side of that door?
No.
When we receive the Holy Spirit, this is what Cardinal Sunan says. Cardinal Sunan was chosen to be the first Episcopal advisor to the charismatic renewal by Paul VI. And he wrote this. Let me read it just so I get it exact. The gifts are nothing more than the shining rays of the Spirit, who is himself the gift par excellence, the gift who contains all other gifts within himself. The Spirit is inseparable from his gifts. When I receive him, listen, I receive the fullness of all that is his. The Spirit who gives me strength today for a particular mission can tomorrow confide to me another. He is able to manifest himself in me, not only in one gift, but in many, either successively or all at once. It's just kind of the brain just goes, doesn't it? I mean, yeah. Yeah, Angie, that's great. It's kind of, you became more and more contemplative as the time went on, didn't you? Thanks very much, Angie. God bless. So I want to say something to you just briefly. Does it mean that everybody is going to have every ministry? Of course it doesn't mean that. Of course it doesn't mean that. There is a difference between a... Let me use... This is very clever. Look at that. I like this. You rub it out here and it gets rubbed out there. Right, okay. Oh no, we're doing a different thing here now. We're filming me rather than just the screen. Right, okay. There's a difference between, you might want to write this down, I don't know if you've got it in your books, gifting and ministry. Beautiful. Pray for revelation. Gifting and ministry, right. A gifting is where God uses me occasionally, okay? A ministry is where God uses me in a certain area regularly, okay? Can you read that? Right, fine. Okay. Now, I want to tell you a little story about the difference between gifting and ministry. For some time, I was being used a lot in the area of the prophetic, gifts of revelation about people, all that kind of stuff, and teaching, and, you know, a bit of healing and that, but not really in evangelization. I'd been used a lot in the past in evangelization, but now the Lord seemed to be using me in things where I was discipling people and ministering to the body, right? And I was invited with about 100 others to a colloquium in Rome where we met with the Pontifical Council for the Laity, and we discussed the healing ministry within the Catholic Church. I'm just giving you that so you know I've got some credentials. And I mean, I was in the bath, don't imagine that. I was in the bath, and my wife brought me this letter with the Vatican, what do you call it, seal on the thing, and I dropped it in the bath. I just couldn't believe it. I thought it was a joke. So anyway, I went to this thing in Rome, and the whole of the Pontifical Council for the Laity was present, and one or two people from the Sacred Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith were also present, and we discussed. And they gave some teaching, and there was teaching from members of the Renewal about the ministry of healing. Anyway, on the way back, I was praying in the airport lounge. Now, I need two chairs for this. I was praying in the airport lounge, and the Lord said to me, "You're going to meet a woman on this plane, and a pretty young woman." I was already married, it's okay. Pretty young woman. And the great crisis in her life is her relationship with her sister. And I prayed a little more, and I thought, well, okay, fine. Okay, Lord, fine. Now, when I went to get on the plane, I used to have very long hair. You know, if I say to you Black Sabbath, Led Zeppelin, AC/DC, it'll tell you my age for a start. But also, I mean, that was my life. I went to 50 concerts in 1 year. You know, I got on stage with AC/DC. I mean, right, okay. It's not something to be proud of. I'll tell you a little bit about that on Sunday. Right. And because I was a headbanger, I messed up my neck, okay? Really, headbanging, you bang your head up and down very violently to the rock music, right? So I messed up my head. So when I fly back on the plane from these things, I'm usually exhausted. And so I have to put my head down. I get a window seat and I put my head down and I go to sleep. And I have to do it that way because if I lay the other way, my neck can get stuck, Well, if your neck gets stuck, then evangelization becomes a bit weird. Do you know Jesus loves you? You know, so I asked for a seat next to the window. I asked for a seat next to the window, and so I'm getting on the plane. I just had this spiritual word from the Lord. I'm getting on the plane, and I gave my ticket to the air hostess, and she says, "Oh, just down there on the left, sir. Wrong side." So I did my best Christian smile. "Thank you very much." Went down to my seat, sat down. I'm sitting in my seat here. And my bag's on there, and I'm sorting some things out. And I'm sort of trying not to be annoyed that I won't be able to get to sleep. Or I will, but I'll be deformed when I wake up. And suddenly I hear a voice. "Oh, excuse me, could you move your bag, please?" And I looked up, and there's a really pretty young woman. And I said, "Oh, fine." And she said, "I asked for a seat somewhere else on the plane. They give me this seat." Then my Holy Spirit antennae went out and thought, "Oh, this is God. Oh, I'd forgotten all about that. Oh, this is God. Oh, my goodness." Yes, I put my bag up there. Now, if you know me, I've got no small talk, okay? I just can't talk about the weather. So I'm sitting there. And I'm just trying to think, how am I going to start talking to her about a word of knowledge about her sister? I mean, how do you start that? "Hi, I'm a weirdo. Can I tell you something you would..." You know, I mean, it's just, you can't do that, can you? So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, "God help me. God help me. God help me." So very, very... And also, I was afraid if I started chatting to her, she'd think I was chatting her up. You know, so... So after a little while, I turned to her and I said, she had an American accent. I said, are you going to England? Staying in England, or are you going back to the States? Or what have you been doing in Rome?" Or something very clumsily, I said to her. And she said, "Oh, I've been visiting my family. I'm going to stay in England for a bit, and then I'm going back to California." And I said, "Oh, right. Oh, lovely. You know." And she said, and what were you doing in Rome?" "Well, actually, I've been with the Vatican, and we've been discussing healing and casting out demons." "I did." So I said, "As you do." And you know what her response was? "Help." No. Her response, she did this. She said, "Really?" And I said, "Wow, God, thank you, right." I said, "Yeah, we've been doing it." And I told her and gave testimony about what we'd seen and heard and the things, you know, that God was doing in the ministry. She was absolutely fascinated. Now, she'd been away from the church since her first communion. She was now about 30. She was a bit into New Age. You know, not a bad person, just kind of lost the way a bit, really, you know. And so I talked about that. We talked about several things, which I can't really share with you, but... you know, and then at a certain point, I said to her, "Well, would you like me to pray with you for the baptism in the Holy Spirit?" Because I'd talked a bit about that. And she said, "Oh, yes, please." So there on the plane, I laid hands on her that she'd be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, thank you, Jesus. She didn't roll on the floor and burst out in tongues. Right. That must be the only time I didn't want that to happen, you know. So we prayed. But you see, before that, I had shared with her and said to her, "Listen," I talked about all the stuff with the healing, and I'd said to her, "Listen, when I was praying before I got on the plane, the Lord said this to me about you." And she said, "That's absolutely true." So we then prayed together about her family and about her relationship with her sister. And then we prayed for her family. And you see, that word of knowledge just opened her up completely to the rest of the conversation. So I was able to pray with her for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. When we finished, she said, "Thank you so much." We talked now for 2.5 hours. And we talked. And then she said, "Listen, could you give me some contacts in California where I can go to, you know, a church where these things are happening?" And I said, "Oh, well, that's, yeah, okay, fine." So she said, "Here's my card." So she gave me a card, and it was a little pink card, you know, like pretty pink, you know, kind of girly pink with a sort of heart thing on it and so on. And I said, do you really want to give me your contacts? You know, you don't know me, you know, and she is very sincere. And I said, you don't know me, you know, I could be very strange. And do you really want to give me your contacts? And she said, no, please. So I said, okay, thanks very much. And then I turned it over, and on the back, there was a beautiful woman in a tiny bikini going like that. And I thought, oh no. And she said, sorry, my business is that I sell sexy beachwear. And I thought, okay, I said, you sure you don't want your car? But no, it's fine, please have it. So I took it, I put it in my bag. I said, dear Jesus, don't let me die on the way home, please, no one will... Now, I didn't die on the way home, hallelujah. I showed my wife, you know, so. Now, I've been in contact with that girl since that time. That was in 2001, I think. And I said to her after a few times I contacted her, would you want me to back off? I don't want you to feel that I'm kind of predatorial, you know, this predatorial Christian who's sort of, you know. And she said, no, please keep telling me these things that God is doing. It's so wonderful. And she's now got married to somebody, because part of her problem was a relational breakup or something. She got married to a guy, and she's this so, you know, godly guy. And she says, I feel God with me all the time. And, you know, she asked me just the other day, just how long ago was it? 6 months ago, she emailed me and said, would you send me some books on prayer? It was all these years later, some books on prayer, because I want to teach my children to pray. You know, and she's coming to, I won't say where in the country, but she's coming to one of the miracle services that we're running. And she said, you come anywhere in this half of America, we'll travel up, you know, to see it, to see what's happening there. You see, now, I could have said... I don't have a ministry of evangelization at the moment. I could have said, that's not what God's doing with me. And she might have ended up completely lost. You know, and now she knows God. She loves God, and God is with her. Because I understood that just because I have a ministry in one thing doesn't mean I can't have a gifting in the other. We have to be ready for God to use us in any of his gifts, as Sunan says, if the situation calls for it. So I want to say to you over this weekend, God is going to surprise you. You may say, well, I got this ministry or that ministry, or God only uses me in this or only in that. It's not true. Our God is a big God, big promises. You have the whole of the giftedness of the Holy Spirit in you. It's just getting it out. It's just getting it released in faith and charity. Did you ever see an apple tree growing apples like this? I'm nearly done now. This is the last thing. Did you see an apple tree growing apples like this? Did you ever see that? No, why not? Because it's natural for apple trees to grow apples, isn't it? It's in its nature to grow apples. Put your hand up if you are a supernatural being. You are, by your baptism, you are supernaturalized. And for a supernatural being doing supernatural acts comes
naturally.
You don't need to pray over people, excuse me. You don't need to pray, never sit in the front row. You don't need to pray over people like this. Oh God, heal. It's just not necessary. It's not necessary. That just reveals how much you're in the flesh. It just reveals your unbelief. You don't actually believe something's happening. Come on, please. Now, I've done it myself, all right? So, you know, I don't want to be hard on you here. You know, some people are very sincere, but actually these things are natural to our super nature that we have via baptism. This is natural. So this weekend, we're going to be real natural. Did any of you ever have any contact with a man called John Wimber? Yeah. Two of us did. We were talking about it over supper, weren't we? Me and Father Dave. You know, John Wimber was a truly ecumenical, evangelical, charismatic. Really ecumenical. And a real true spirit. He did great, great service for the Catholic Church. Nicky Gumbel, who's now the pastor of Holy Trinity Brompton, where they started the Alpha program, his pastor before him, Sandy Miller, says that after Wesley, no one did more good for the Anglican communion than John Wimber. And that's high praise, because Wesley did a lot of great things. I mean, really brought alive. I know there was a break and so on, all that, but great things in the English church. I know he's a bit funny about Catholics, but, you know, we forgive him that. One of the things John Wimber just revealed to me, and in all this other Catholic teaching, is that God wants to mobilize the whole body. The whole body. You know, in the army of Joshua, every individual counted. Every individual counted. We can no longer get by on the knee of Moses. It's no longer enough for us to look for those great, and we honor them and thank God for them, great leaders of the renewal. We have got to take it. We're on the banks of the Jordan. We've got to stand up and take ownership of this thing, every one of us. And God is offering it to us. And the amazing thing about the whole army of Joshua was they believed there were giants in the land. Every single one of Joshua's soldiers had the faith of David to bring down his giant that he was going to have to face across the water. That's the army the Lord is looking for, a people of faith who believe the promises. I've shared with you a lot of promises and some of the theology of the church and some of the sayings of the saints. God is offering it to you. Are we going to stand up and take it this weekend?
Yes.
Are we going to step into it?
Yes.
Are we?
Yes.
Amen. Let's do that for the glory of the Lord. I'm done.